This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Things are a-brewing up in the beautiful hills of Fraser's with the Rawup Draft District Local Plan 2035 proposing to revive and turn Fraser's Hill into a major tourist destination. With tourist numbers dropping these past few years, there are, of course, calls and major recommendations to revamp the entire area. But will these plans permanently destroy everything this little England in Malaysia is known and loved for? So on the show today, I'm speaking to Nick Jasmine Hugh, who is the chairman of Persatuan Alam Dan Warisan Fraser, or PORBF, about what the draft local plan is proposing and what residents of Fraser's Hill feel about it. Welcome, Jasmine. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good. Nice to speak to you again.
Yeah, it's lovely to have you back on the show. So yeah, you know, we've been catching up over these past couple of years at least, right? To talk about Fraser's Hill, you know, and in the course of those discussions, we've spoken about why it's so special, you know, why we want to preserve it, you know, and it's sort of its identity and the way it is, because that's what people head to Fraser's for, right? So anyway, just search for Fraser's Hill on BFM if you want to hear those interviews. But today though, we want to focus on these new plans, right, that are being proposed in the Rawup Draft District Local Plan 2035. That's a mouthful, I must say, to say. Maybe you can start off by explaining, you know, what exactly this plan is, you know, how important it is in sort of shaping the future of what Fraser's will look like.
Okay. So even last year, our team don't actually know what was this three letters RTD, because everybody's been mentioning to us, like, okay, go check on the RTD, see what the RTD says. So we found out that, okay, Rancangan Tempatan Daerah is basically the law for planning of a place. And because Fraser's Hill had been under Rawup District since 1997, so the Rawup District are the planners for Fraser's Hill. They are actually using this plan to guide them for what they see, deem is important for their future, for Rawup's future. So the RTD that we had previously was actually expired in 2015, but it was still being in use even now because there was no update. So technically, this Rancangan Tempatan Daerah is an update for the old one.
Okay, and I understand that this new draft plan, they've been working on it for quite a while, right? And I you know, were you guys engaged? Were stakeholders engaged, you know, when coming up with this draft plan?
Right, okay. So they've been working on it since last year. We were called to attend a workshop, and there was also like a meeting on the hill itself with residents and other stakeholders who were invited, and that was it. There were two sessions, and after that it was more of, because we know that this thing was going on, so we kept on, you know, updating the planners and the majlis on what we think should be included and all that. So we have been actively not working together, but technically providing information to the planners regarding Fraser's Hill.
Okay, all right. And I guess, you know, the draft was released, I think it was back in September, right? And now is the whole process where they gather feedback to it, am I correct?
Yes, correct. So they released the draft on 22nd September, and we actually were supposed to have only 1 month to study it and to give our feedback. But I think there was an application for an extension, so we got another month extension. So now we have up till 21st November to hand in our feedback and to actually gather as much support as we can to also hand in feedbacks, because it's really important that we get it right, you know, because mm-hmm. once the RT is confirmed, it becomes law and we have to abide it, and there's no other way to go around it except if you were to contest it in court, or you were, you know, if you were to keep fighting, and maybe they might repeal certain things in it.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, it is a very, very, I mean, I think we've had conversations here in KL also about the local KL draft plan and how important it is and why the feedback process is so important. Because like you say, once it's passed, it is law, isn't it? And they'll like, you had your chance. So no complaining now, right? When all these suddenly these buildings pop up. But okay. So it was released. Now it's the feedback process. Clearly you've gone through the RTD, the old RTD as well as the new one, right? I guess, you know, what are some of the things that stand out for you? What are the things that you like in the new RTD?
Right, okay. Many people know that we were facing a huge issue last year whereby we had to find ways to actually stop the development of Fraser's Hill. So at that time, the only law that could apply to our situation was the RT. So the RTD previously did not have specifications on how development should be on the hill. It was subjected to development requirements for highlands, but there were no specifications specifically for a special area or anything like that. In fact, special area was not mentioned at all in the old RT. So when we looked at this RTD, we wish that we had this last year because it would have made life easier and we wouldn't even have to face the whole fiasco because in the present RT draft, it is actually set quite clearly what kind of development is allowed on the hill. In fact, it is mentioned that Fraser's Hill is a special area and it also has classified Fraser's Hill as a kawasan sensitive area tahap satu. So that means that okay, priority goes to places like Fraser's Hill when it comes to limiting what you can build on it. In fact, it actually specify that you cannot actually have a high rise on the hill and mentions that you can only build up to 5 stories high. So that's good news. And amongst other things, such as Taman Negeri, you know, there have been people like WWF and Pusat Penyelidikan Bukit Fraser who had been lobbying for a Taman Negeri, a state park status for Fraser's Hill for the past at least 4 years, I think. And that is also mentioned in this RTD. So, you know, there are things like that we celebrate because it's important to have that in the RT. We know for sure that, you know, if it's in there, then we will not have grand scale developments on the hill as such. But of course, there are things that we still have to be careful about. And if you look at the entire RT, there's a lot of plans for Fraser's Hill. And a lot of these plans are actually to do with tourism itself. Because as we know, Fraser's Hill's whole purpose is for tourism. Its main purpose is that.
Can I just quickly ask before we get into those other things, right? You know, that whole point of making it into a state park, you said, right? Or giving it that sort of status. What would that actually mean for Fraser's Hill if it were to get that sort of status?
Okay. It would mean there'll be better protection. They can't actually simply develop things up there. Of course, it's subject to state requirements as to how or what can be built there. And a lot more say by the state rather than the majlis, you know. Uh-huh. Even though technically at the end of the day, you know, even with last year's issue and all that, it did go to state level. But when it's a state park, it's a special concern for the state. So it's all that. At the same time, there are concerns about Taman Negeri because if we look at the entire RTD Raup, we can see that they are going towards two things. Of course, Raup is also the place of durian.
Yeah.
In fact, they have classified a few places, 5 places, to be the gems of Raup. So Fraser's Hill is one of the gems. And I'm a bit gutted that we are gem number 2.
Oh, no.
And gem number 1 is actually durian.
Oh, and no!
We can see why the classification is as such, you know. Yeah. At the end of the day, the Raup district, like everybody else, considers value in terms of money, right? So the monetary value of durian is obviously higher than Fraser's Hill. But to actually still be on the list, we know that they do want to make money out of Fraser's Hill. Mm-hmm. So these are the concerns, because how much money you can make on the hill really, really depends on the carrying capacity and you know, how they want to brand the hills. Because you can brand the hill as somewhere exclusive and expensive, which actually gives you the opportunity to make a bit more money because it's exclusive and expensive. Or you can make it mass and cheap, which means you need quantity. So by the looks of it, we are still struggling with the same problem. I mean, this is the problem that Fraser's Hill have been facing for a long time. Where is the balance, you know, between nature lovers and visitors who come in the weekend and like come to enjoy the activities that the hill have? Yeah, how to draw this balance. But because the RT has got a lot of these suggestions for instance, the tram rides, for instance, you know, to have trams, meaning you're expecting a lot of people to go in it, because obviously to build the trams itself will cost a lot of money. So, and then the maintenance of it. So you would need a lot of people to go up the hill just for you to have the trams. But to us, we feel that perhaps we don't need the trams, because then we don't need to spend that money on the trams and maintenance and hiring people and all that, right?
Yeah.
And then the cable car, for instance, we raised the fact that the cable car idea had actually been introduced before and it was shut down because of environmental issues and all that. But this time the planners have said that, you know, it's new technology and, you know, it's a new kind of cable car. It's not the old kind of cable car. It's futuristic. It's in the plan because so that they can do it in the future, that kind of thing. But that's the thing with this RT. There are a lot of things mentioned about the plans. And it's sometimes we feel that the way it's worded in the RT is too specified, that it makes things rigid because there's no room to maneuver around certain plans that they have in this RT.
Okay. All right. We're going to go for a quick break, but when we come back, we'll find out more about, you know, what these sorts of plans are, the ones that maybe don't quite make sense, you know, in terms of preserving what Fraser's Hill is all about. I'm speaking today to Nick Jasmine Hugh. She's the chairman of Persatuan Alam dan Warisan Bukit Fraser, or PORBF. We're talking about whether, you know, the plans which have been outlined in the Raup draft district local plan 2035, you know, which is proposing to revive and sort of turn Fraser's Hill into a major tourist destination, whether all those plans are really going to work. We'll come back and discuss more after this quick break. You're listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs, and joining me today is Nick Jasmine Hugh. She is the chairman of Persatuan Alam dan Warisan Bukit Fraser, or PORBF, otherwise known as Fraser's Hill Nature and Heritage Association. And we're talking about, you know, these new local district draft plans, which is the Raup draft district local plan 2035, which has, you know, many proposals to sort of revive and turn Fraser's Hill into a major tourist destination. We're kind of discussing whether all these plans actually make sense and, you know, will preserve what Fraser's Hill is known and loved for. So before the break, Jasmine, you were talking a little bit about, you know, these huge plans that they have for cable cars and, you know, why that might not be a good idea. Are there other things that are in the draft plan which also don't quite make sense in terms of what Fraser's Hill is?
Okay, so the Majlis Daerah Raup had taken over Fraser's Hill since 1997. And we do note that they don't have their own building and they would want their own building. So in this RT, they have proposed for their new building. But it's not that we are against a new building for Majlis Daerah Raup. We agree that they do need their own space and so that they can function better. And we would like them to function better. And yet in the RT, it says that, you know, they will increase staff and have a special team to look over Fraser's Hill and look over the tourism side of Fraser's Hill and all that. Okay, we are celebrating all that. But the proposed location for this building is of concern because it is actually situated on the front view of the golf course. So if you're familiar with Fraser's Hill, there's a stretch of road facing the golf course that leads you to the glass house. So this stretch is very short. It's not even long. So what's been proposed is for this building to be built right there, like half of, I don't know where, it looks like half in the picture, but it's actually at that front view, and it's going to be a double story building with a car park around it. Okay. So the placement of it is of concern. That's one thing. The other thing is there are a few things that have been answered already, because obviously when we studied the RT, there are concerns. We approached the planners, so they explained certain things to us. For example, they are turning Fraser's Hill back into a flower destination. So if you know Fraser's Hill in the 80s, it used to be a place where people used to go to enjoy flowers. Mm. So they want to do that again, which is, you know, something really great, because we've been drumming up the fact that we need more flowers and all that. So our concern at that time when we read that and looking at the scale of it, was how are they going to do this? If they're going to use pesticides for it, you know, how organic they're going to be, because we also have a 10-year plan, our own plan, I mean, like preservation, to actually increase the bird counts. Mm-hmm. So if we were to use pesticides and all that, it's going to reduce the bird counts, because you're going to kill the insects and on a large scale, right? So after we have raised this concern, we spoke to the planners actually clarified that, yes, they're going to go organic with it. So with that, I am proposing that they should write it in the RT that everything is going to be organic. Because if it's not mentioned, whoever that runs the place, I don't know, within this few years can go whichever direction.
Yeah.
So we just hope that it's not just, you know, mentioned to us, but actually written in the RT. Alongside with that, there is also Taman Floria, which is a special park that they've planned. It's actually not so bad, except for the scale of it. It's good in the sense that it is reviving what we had previously, because we used to have a nursery where people can go and buy plants, kind of like a garden center. You know, like in England, you have a lot of garden centers and you get very excited for garden centers.
Yeah.
So we had what was like a garden center. At the same time, you can enjoy, you know, looking at the plants in there. So this garden is really nice. The way they've presented it looks promising, but the scale is what we are concerned about, because it can't be too big. For Fraser's Hill, you cannot be too big and you don't want to disturb too much of the environment. Where the location is suggested is actually where the pine trees are. So we are hoping that they will preserve the pine trees, because pine trees are part of our heritage. You know, things like that. Those are little concerns. So as we go through the RT, then we realize, besides the tram, besides the cable car, besides this MDR building that you're going to put in town center, besides the pesticides, okay, pesticides all covered, there's also going to be a renovation for where the food court is, where the food garden is. Mm. So right now we have restaurants and a few shops that are single story. So in the plan, they have shown double story and a new look for the entire area. So that, I think, is a good thing. They also want to add a few shops, but how it's going to be handled is of concern, because through past experience, when the town center was revamped, the locals, the local businesses had to leave, or they were given 1 week notice to leave their premises, which they had been in for 30 years.
Oh, gosh.
And they had a temporary site that they had to build within like a really short period of time. So they were not given due notice, and there was no proper place for them to conduct their business. So we do not want that to happen again. So if they are proposing to renovate and all that, we do not want to see that. But I have to note that was done, that the previous renovations where everybody had a 1 week notice was done back when it wasn't by Majlis Al-Arab, it was Tourism Pahang. It was during Ng Yen Yen's time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so we looked through and then we realized there was this part where it showed there is Rumah Prima on Fraser's Hill. So this was a huge concern because, you know, as you know, we don't have many houses on Fraser's Hill except for those bungalows and the Silver Park apartments, the Pine Resort apartments, and also where the locals live in Taman Sungai Hijau. So aside from all these, we don't have any, housing projects. Okay. So to actually see a housing projects on Phase 6 is a huge surprise, because it just doesn't fit the hills concept at all, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't, people don't actually live there. The only people who live there are people who treat it as a second home, or people who work there and had stayed on, or, you know, just choose to buy Silver Park apartments because they love Fraser Hill so much. So to actually have Rumah Prima is a huge concern. So we spoke to the planners. Apparently, that is not a suggestion in this RT, but it's something that had been approved previously. So cool. We will have to look into this, yes.
But I do understand that. I mean for the concept of Prima housing is affordable housing, right? But, I mean, in terms of, like, you know, for families and all, there's no secondary school in Fraser's. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah. So the concept of the hill is that it's just literally that. It is, the purpose of it is for tourism. Whoever serves the hill, whoever's bought some properties that were available back then, actually are the only people who's got property up there. But there is no real need to develop a township where you live there forever, because it's just not the place for it. There's no hospital. There's no graveyards. There's no secondary school, like you said. Because all of us, after we finished our primary school, we had to leave the hill. So,
right.
So it's not conducive. And it's not something that's for Fraser's. It's not like any other area in Malaysia, you know. It's just purely for tourism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I suppose, you know, if you're going to put Prima housing there, then you would really... think you need to think about all the other infrastructure, and again, that's just completely changing the whole area, right? That's a whole different discussion, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, maybe they want to say that the Prima housing are for locals, but the thing is, people come and go. People don't, most of them don't work forever. Many people do in the past work till they retire, but these days people come and go. I don't know. It's just not needed. It's not necessary to have Prima housing up there. The only reason why is possibly MDR could make a bit more money on what do you call it, cukai, taksiran. But okay, other than that, there's no real purpose for it. There are also plans, you know, little things but cost a lot of money, like the gerbang. We don't actually need another gerbang, you know. We don't need an arc or an arch to greet the visitors up the hill, because we've got plenty of those already.
Yeah, so I remember those, yeah.
Yeah, and got one big red sign which they put up like 2 years ago, which, you know, is shocking that it's red, but it's there.
So there's a proposal for a new arch, right? To greet the people. Okay, all right. Yeah, that might not be necessary. But I do know there's other things, right? There was like a treetop walk, a bird watching, bird feeding platform, those sorts of things.
Yeah, so the treetop walk, we feel that it could be an added thing for Fraser's Hill, you know, because there are not many viewing area for the place. Like, you can walk and you can look at the scenery as natural as it is, but there's no tower which you can go up to and look at the view kind of thing. So we don't opposed to it, except for the fact that we want to know how they will maintain it, because like a lot of things on Fraser's Hill, they can build it, but then whether they can maintain it is a different story. Mm. So the thing that's worrying about the tree top walk is that it's coupled with bird feeding. So it's something that's quite obvious. I've not heard what the planners said about this, but bird feeding, like literally someone feeding the bird, is not encouraged and it's not great for the ecosystem. But if you put bird feeders around and encourage birds to come around the area, that's possible. So it's more of how they word it in the RT. Because right now it's worded and the pictures are showing that people are feeding birds. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. But these are minor things. The bigger things are like the building on the golf course, the Rumah Prima, spending money on things like the tram and the cable car, which are actually not needed for the hill, we feel. Okay. Like the swing, for instance, it's a good idea to actually have like a, it's called the extreme swing. So they want to have, they propose to have a flying fox thing because they think, you know, it's a great place for extreme sports. Mm-hmm. But coupled with that, there's a suggestion for sky bike, like an adventure sky bike thing. But I've been on those. I went to Dieng Plateau and those were the two things that were there that were just introduced actually, because I've been there twice. The sky bike thing. And I realized the flying fox, yes, is extreme sports and it's really good and all that. But the sky bike actually attracts Instagrammers, things like, which is good for mass tourism, but not so great if you want to promote the hill as an extreme place, you know, sports place, because that's what they said that they want to do. So the balance of how theme park-ish Fraser's Hill should be considered, because we don't really want to be a theme park. We do want it to be like the middle point to introduce people who don't actually know nature to nature. But if we were to have too many things out there that are theme park-ish, then we defeat the purpose of introducing nature to these people. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah, I get it. It's all about that balance, right? And the problem is you need to get all of that right in these rancangan, in these RTs, right? Because this is going to dictate how development and planning is going to take place, you know, for the next few years. Am I correct?
Yeah. Okay. Again, the other thing that we notice is that, okay, not everything in the plans in the old RT were actually implemented, were actually made, you know, like come to fruition. But once it's there, they can do it. So, you know, you're opening up a can of worms if you don't agree to something and it's in there, right?
Yeah.
And also, you don't actually want it to lead to more detail on that particular framework, because we now will face the RKK, Rancangan Kawasan Khas. It hasn't already been like approved and they're going to work on it like next year, I think. I don't think they have actually, they've actually announced it, which means a tender, somebody, I don't know which planner is going to take on this job, but someone has to start working on it probably next year. So whatever framework that we have in this RT will be then detailed in the RKK.
Right.
So we want to get this RT right so that when you get to the RKK, it doesn't get too much into details that we don't want.
Okay. Yeah. Again, that's Rancangan Kawasan Khas, right? Bukit Fraser. And that is, yeah, all the future plans for Fraser's Hill very, very specifically, isn't it?
Yeah. And in fact, yesterday, the planner actually did voice out that actually a place can have an RTD. And then to detail the framework, it will have an RKK. And to further detail the RKK, they will have something else. Like, I forgot what it's called, but there's another thing which they can actually come up with. So we have to really be careful with what we allow in the first RT so that when it gets to the RKK, when it gets detailed, it doesn't go crazy.
Okay. Which brings us to where you are right now, right? Which is you are gathering feedback, you're making, you're trying to gather all the information and all the bantahan, I suppose, right? Your recommendations, right? I mean, tell me about that. You know, where are you right now and what are you kind of working on?
Okay, so we thought at the beginning that it would be easy to go through the RT, right? So we thought, okay, give ourselves like a week. And then a week became 2 weeks, 2 weeks became 3 weeks, 3 weeks became 4 weeks. We were mulling over like, okay, what does this actually say? What's the impact of this? You know, socially, what's going to happen? See, the thing that's different with us is because you see, Fraser's Hill have got a lot of lovers. I would call them lovers. A lot of people love Fraser's Hill, but everybody come from everybody comes from different angles. So everyone has got their own perceptions of what they want Fraser's Hill to be, you know. So nature lovers want it to be completely free of the mass crowd or the crowd in the weekend. And then you've got crowd in the weekend or cyclists who wants it to be Fraser's Hill where they can cycle up and do whatever they usually do up there. So for us, as someone who is coming from Warisan and Alam, at the same time, we understand what's going on locally and what the businesses need, it's really difficult to actually determine what is that balance. So for the past 2 years, our persatuan and our social business, which is FH events have actually come up with this mission of trying to get more people to go up to Fraser's Hill on weekdays. So that there's a balance. So that anyway, the nature lovers will not come in the weekends. You know, if you want to look at birds, you have to come in the weekdays these days because the weekends are just crowded with people. So the birds also will lari. But so we're encouraging people to come to the hill on the weekday to enjoy the quiet Fraser's Hill. But you see, not many people have that luxury of enjoying Fraser's Hill on a weekday because people are working and all that, right?
Mm, yeah.
So it is a very difficult balance to find. But yeah, Fraser's Hill's long, age-old problem in Fraser's Hill is that since 1997, we have two administrators. One that used to be administering the entire hill, PKBF, Perbadanan Kemajuan Bukit Fraser, or Fraser's Hill Development Corporation. And then now you have the Majlis Daerah Rawa. So since there have been this change, the role of PKBF in this entire area is still very grey. Even though it's in charge of tourism, at the same time, if you look at this RT, a lot of the things in this plan is to do with tourism. So we know that there is not enough communication between Majlis Daerah Rawa and Tourism Pahang, who is in charge of PKBF. So we hope that, okay, now that we have this extension and Tourism Pahang actually has the time to look at it, they can see what Majlis Daerah Rawa had planned for them. Because technically, this plan is for tourism, and tourism in Fraser's Hill is under Tourism Pahang, which is PKBF. Okay. So it's going to be an interesting one, because if tourism was not actually consulted enough during the planning of this, whether their ideas are going to fit together is something else.
Okay. All right. And I guess, you know, for anyone who's listening now, right, and sitting in maybe in KL and wondering why this is something important for them, I guess, you know, a lot of us do head up to Fraser's, isn't it? Especially from the Klang Valley. And we also can make recommendations. Is that something we should also look at the plans and perhaps, you know, share thoughts and things like that? Is that something that would be welcomed?
Yes, yes. I think, okay, this is the thing. Even though the state or the Majlis may stress that the real stakeholders are actually people who live there, the people who are directly involved on the hill, but because Fraser's Hill has got such a special position, it would be ridiculous to not include everyone, the visitors, especially, you know, you have people who go up there regularly.
Yeah.
Into the plan, because at the end of the day, the hill is to serve these people who come up to enjoy the hill. So yes, everybody is welcome to write in. In fact, I have consulted Derek Fernandez actually just to make sure that that I was heading towards the right direction. And he said that everybody should write in. You know, if you have concerns about the place, you should write in. And I know the form actually says bantahan. Is a strong word, but even if you have suggestions on the plans, please send in. And we're going to make it easy for you. Because, okay, like I say, we studied it like for weeks now, and we decided, and because we get a lot of questions about the RT and all that, we decided that we're going to come out with a report, and this report is going to be made public. And along with the report, we will come up with a form that actually identifies each and every provision that there is in the RT, and then there'll be column for you to write in your opinion. So okay. We're trying our best to make it as easy as possible for everyone, because I know it's not an easy task to read this RT. It's really not. So yeah. We hope that by doing this, a lot more people will actually make some time for Fraser's Hill.
Okay. And I guess, you know, for you guys at PAW-BF, you know, this is not easy. This is, you know, taking up a lot of your time. And, you know, now that you've done the hard work of looking through it and all of that, maybe there are other ways that people can support, you know, are you guys looking for donations for the organization? You guys are an NGO, you know, those sorts of things.
Well, we're always looking for funding because we are running independently and we run a lot of projects. We have many projects. So we have this year alone, we have several. In fact, today we have someone going up the hill to do one of the collaboration projects. So we are constantly working on the hill. We've come up with, you know, different kajian that's to do with the hill, including the landslide kajian. You know, in January when we had that,
yes,
100 yes. Yeah, actually it's 300 whatever, but on the hill itself we had about 120 landslides on the hill itself. So we actually did a research and counted each and every landslide and took picture of every landslide and marked it and sent it to all the different departments and all that. So these kind of works we are doing basically self-funded, and we do hope that maybe, you know, anybody who wants to fund us can, you know, come over and fund us. We also like to collaborate with people, so we have a lot of collaborations also. We have collaboration with BirdLife International where we actually do the bird count. But like I say, the bird counting is actually a 10-year plan because we want to see an increase in the birds. So we are doing conservation efforts to actually encourage more birds up the hill also. So yes.
Support always welcome. Yes. Support and collaboration.
Support is welcome. Okay. Yes, support collaboration, always welcome.
Okay, I guess, you know, if anyone's interested, so you're working on that report and you're working on that document which people can, you know, put their feedback in. And I guess just head to your Facebook page and keep updated by searching there?
Yeah, okay, Facebook page or IG page.
Okay.
And you can also email us at paw.bukitfraser@gmail.com.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you so much, Jasmine, for joining me today. Again, you know, just head to Paw BF's Facebook page or IG page. Just search PAWBF or email them, as Jasmine said. Find out how you can help. And if you're a fan of Fraser's Hill and you'd like to see it preserved in a certain way, do voice out your opinion about these local draft plans and just, you know, wait for updates from the folks from Paw BF. My thanks again to Jasmine. I've been speaking to Nick Jasmine Hugh, the chairman of Persatuan Alam dan Warisan Bukit Fraser. We were talking about the new plans that are being outlined in the Raub Draft District Local Plan 2035, whether or not that will revive Fraser's Hill or perhaps, yeah, I don't know, maybe destroy it. Have a look at that plan and, you know, share your feedback. And if you miss any part of today's interview, you can always download the podcast at bfm.my/learn, or you can find it on the BFM app. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.